Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are here from Third Space for another week of our unfolding, turning towards life conversation and practice. And you are so, so welcome to be with us, whether you're on our podcast or YouTube or with us live in our Facebook group or any of the other many places that you can find us. Thank you for finding your way to this conversation. Maybe you've been with us for the almost 5 years that we've been doing this, or maybe somehow by the magic of the web or of friendship or of recommendation or something, you found your way into this conversation. And thank you for being here. And as always, we have a wonderful source, which is going to begin our conversation. And Lizzie, thank you always for finding sources that are so inspiring and moving and excellent. So, welcome to you too, Lizzie.
Thanks, Justin. And yeah, welcome to everybody. This is our weekly non-negotiable practice, and I'm so appreciative of it. So thank you, Justin, for always being here. We have something this week from a wonderful person called George Saunders, whose book I'm rereading at the moment and finding various pieces that are just golden. So anyway, I would really encourage anybody interested in language and writing and creativity and life to dive in. It's so brilliant. So this is a small passage from one of the chapters, kind of about a quarter of a way through the book. And I don't even know what I want to say about this one, Justin, other than I want to talk about it. It's like it kind of lit me up in some way that I don't really understand. So I really just want to be with you in it and wonder what it's actually pointing to and what it means. And I think that's the beauty of George Saunders' writing for me and who he is. It's like I'm receiving it through the book. Is I don't seem to be able to have a coherent response or answer to the things, other than I know that it wakes me up to something that I don't know yet. So that's the interesting experience for me of the book. And just to say before we read it, you can always find the source on our website, which is turningtowards.life, and also in the show notes for the podcast, and also on Facebook. We always post it on a Friday so that people have a chance to see what we're going to be doing on the live Facebook group on the Sunday. So we post on the Friday and we do this on Sunday mornings. That's UK time. So here we go. I'm going to read and then...
Before you read, yes. You might need to just bring your microphone a little bit closer to your mouth because you're a tiny bit quieter.
I might have to hold it. My normal microphone's broken today. Okay. Hold it there for a little while. We're always rationally explaining and articulating things. But we're at our most intelligent in the moment just before we start to explain or articulate. Great art occurs or doesn't in that instant. What we turn to art for is precisely this moment. When we know something, we feel it, but can't articulate it because it's too complex and multiple. But the knowing at such moments, though happening without language, is real. I'd say this is what art is for. To remind us that this sort of knowing is not only real, it's superior to our usual conceptual reductive way.
Thanks, Lizzie. So I'm going to read. You said it was by George Saunders, but I don't think you said the name of the book, so I'll say it now, which is A Swim in the Pond in the Rain. Also one of my very favourite books in the world. We're always rationally explaining and articulating things, but we're at our most intelligent in the moment just before we start to explain or articulate. Great art occurs or doesn't in that instant. What we turn to art for is precisely this moment when we know something, we feel it, but can't articulate it because it's too complex and multiple. But the knowing at such moments, though happening without language, is real. I'd say this is what art is for, to remind us that this other sort of knowing is not only real, it's superior to our usual conceptual reductive way.
Thanks, Justin. So listening to you now and listening to me, I'm realizing that I have this experience a lot of times where I'm in the tension between this moment that George is talking about, of the experiencing the just beforeness, the tension between that moment and then trying to find a way of expressing myself. So it feels like that moment can contain like a ridiculous degree of complexity in my experience. Like I can see loads of things, I can feel loads of things, I can have a rich input or something of experience. And then to try and say something about it or create something from it or communicate with someone about it or tell them exactly what it is, there begins the rub, if you like. Because I'm not sure, in many instances, whatever I could do feels like it would never do justice to the thing that I had experienced. And I think in large part, that process right there of the experiencing and then finding language and expression is a big piece of what George Saunders is teaching in the world, of how to dignify that experiencing through saying it or painting it or making something that communicates it. And that moment can be the perception of a human being or a situation or anything in life. And I think what I'm receiving from him is that he's doing something that enables us to all get really clear on what that process is for ourselves. And I have to say, it's really confounding because I have this huge kind of, oh, well, I don't know what that is. You know, I haven't practiced enough. I haven't found my way enough to know, to feel, to be sure of. And there's, of course, there's ways I can see that I have that capacity to express myself and express that just before moment. And it feels like this is asking something really great of us, to really find a way to dedicate ourselves to this, because it's so profoundly human to do this thing of bringing the moment of our experience, the complexity of experiencing in our human ways, to one another in some form.
It's a wonderful piece of synchronicity for me, Lizzie, in your bringing this little extract from George Saunders' work, because I've just had a couple of weeks away, as you know, and on my couple of weeks away, I've read twice a book that I read twice about 10 years ago called Taking Appearance Seriously by Henry Bortoft, which is a book of philosophy, really, but deeply, deeply is in the same territory as what George Saunders is saying. And so listening to you and reading George Saunders is a moment where I can see if I can try and say something about this, because it was such a profound book to read. Maybe the thing for me to say is this, that I think George Saunders is writing about. There's, you know, when he talks about, there's our usual conceptual reductive way, but there's always a moment before we speak when we know something more than can be said. And that's the point, that what we do at that point, where this vast something that we know and the way in which we know it is ready maybe to be brought into the world, and then we make something or say something about it. What maybe the thing to notice that is absolutely extraordinary about being a human is that that's something that's just prior to language does appear in us. We are the place or the opening or the possibility that new ways of knowing and expressing and seeing and loving and articulating and all of that. We are the place where that arises, which is, it's actually really, really important. I think it's the thing that I'm I'm being reminded of by just being here with you. And of course, that's what this long conversation is, we never know what we're going to say. It's never formed before we begin. I don't even know what the end of this sentence that I'm in the middle of, where how it's going to end. It's just coming. Right? That we are, by virtue of being sentient and conscious, we are the possibility that anything beautiful and wonderful, creative, mm-hmm. intelligent, deep, wise, loving, generous, whatever different words we want to use, and also hateful, destructive, you know, all of those things. But we're the place where all of this can arise, and then we're the ones who then get to take whatever it is that appears in us and then do something with it or not. And what we do with what arises in us really matters. And the mistake, maybe the mistake that we make is that once we've, you know, that moment where we're developing something rich and alive and maybe very complex in us that hasn't yet turned into some speaking or some painting or some poetry or some kind of action. The moment we speak it, there's the first moment where we speak it, where it's arising for the first time and it's being made. And then afterwards, there's the repeating of what we said, like we now know it. Like we could write down this conversation and come back to it later and go, oh, you know, there it is. It's all very clear. We've got it. And somehow that would be the moment where we did that the vast something that was here before would become reductive. Like the moment it's spoken and we think it's done and like I've got it is the moment that we reduce it to something much, much smaller than it is.
Yeah.
When it's much, much more true to say whatever understanding of life or of ourselves or one another, whatever it is always in the process of arising in us. So once we've said it once, it really helps to not hold on too tightly to the way that we understood it or said it the first time, so that we can allow the newness of it to keep on coming. And that's how we, maybe that's one of the differences between something that is reduced to something very simplistic and something that is more like the art that George Saunders talks about, where it carries on unfolding. You know, the thing that gets me very excited is that that's what we are. And it upsets me that we have such narrow stories often in our culture about what a human is. Like we're some kind of machine or some kind of tool for production or we're just really nothing and meaningless when we are the ones who, I just read George Saunders again, who at that moment just before we start to explain or articulate, there is something complex and vast and multiple there in all of us always.
Mm. Yeah, I'm noticing, Justin, just being drawn to seeing how conceptual and reductive I am, and somehow the invitation that there's something being acknowledged that's more than that, that's different than that, feels like a kind of an expansion or a reorientation or something. So all the ways that I make things definite or I make them a size I can handle or control or something, it's entirely understandable that I do that. Like I can feel why I would do that. And I'm feeling the kind of wondering of if I can see that and let myself do that, just because I will, and that's how we are as human beings. There's also another space that opens up that in the acknowledgement of that, it allows me to not land there or stop there, but that there's a big and, which is okay, I've reduced this to this, but that's not all that's here. There's like an eruptive, alive being here that reductionist conceptualizing way doesn't entirely do justice to. And so the part of me that's creative, the part of me that's like, I'm thinking of lava, you know, like a continual flow of life, gets to be included in the noticing. And that just makes me really curious. You know, that's what we are, like you're saying, we are. I think we've said it so many times before, Justin, but this thing comes for me of, there's absolutely zero way I can know you and you can know me in that space as well. Because even if I have said to you, this is what I think, that's a piece of reductionism and getting to language that hasn't actually very well expressed all of me at all. And so it leaves me only able to treat you as a mystery where I get a teensy slither of Justin coming towards me. But I have to be in relationship with you in a different way than paying attention to the red herring of the thing that you just threw out at me. Like, and that feels like the magic of it to me. Like, whatever someone's saying, however someone's delivering themselves to me in the moment, through language or actions or whatever, I'm just not privy to their world, like almost at all. And so then I can, of course, receive the thing that got given, like words or actions or something. But I feel dedicated to having that here and seeing that there's way more going on than that thing. Because this is the nature of being human. That we are these ridiculous, huge, big worlds of behindness and beforeness and afterness and aboveness and belowness. Like, we are huge. And this helps me really relate to myself as that, like accepting myself as that and relating to you as that too, which makes me curious and interested and wondering and allowing, rather than having you only be a certain way in my mind that you've presented yourself as or something.
This way of talking about it that you have, Lizzie, and I'm mindful that whilst we're talking, the very process that you're talking about is the thing that's happening. Yeah. but actually I see something else too. I wonder what you'll make of this. So when I hear you speak, I'm really with you that what is coming to me in the particular words that you're saying is not only a tiny aspect of however expressive you're being, however wonderfully, beautifully, poetically, rationally, whatever way you want to express so that you can express the something that's here that you're expressing is. First of all, it's only a tiny part of you and your world. It's a tiny aspect, and it's so helpful to remember, like you said, that there's a before and a behind that is never fully expressed in all of that. So I'm really with you in that, and it's such a reminder for us to treat one another like mysteries, not like we know one another. I know Lizzie because you said this. Like, I know you very gladly and very fully in many ways, and I could never know anything more than just an aspect, like you say, because there's all the context and all the history and all everything. And that, so I think this was implied in what you were saying, maybe you said it, but that means there's really something to be said for treating one another like mysteries, to staying open. The other thing about it is, what it seems to me as it means, is that we're also always unfinished.
Mm.
There's not like, there is a fixed Lizzie, and as you speak to me, more and more of that fixed Lizzie is getting revealed, and even if it's only a tiny, relative to the vastness of you, it's some small aspect of you, and if I stay for long enough, I get to know all of you, because as George Saunders is saying, there's a moment just before we start to explain, say, anything, when something here is arising. And as we speak, we change. So you're never the same Lizzie, because as you're living all the way through our lives, you're all also unfolding into something like a rosebud blooming again and again. You might sort of imagine a rosebud blooming, and then out of the middle of a rose, the rose comes another rose, and out of the middle of the rose comes another rose. You are unfolding into yourself, so you're always unfinished. So that's a great sort of act of care and responsibility that I can show you, is by knowing that I'll never get to the end of knowing Lizzie. It's not possible. But also, as I'm speaking, then to remember that I'm also unfinished, so I can't know myself either. Even though I have this very privileged position regarding to me, that I've got access to my inner experience in a way that you can't directly have access to, I'm still a mystery to myself, because there's still something appearing all the time here, and it can change, and I change as I go. It's such a different way of treating ourselves and one another than I think we are very often encouraged to treat ourselves and one another in the contemporary world, where my growing sense is there are very good reasons why it suits the way the world goes for us to stay judgmental about one another, judgmental about ourselves, frightened of ourselves and one another, and distant from one another, rather than treating one another as great works of art that are unfolding. And I heard this, I went to see a play last night, and I'm going to sort of slightly change one of the lines from the play, but it sort of suits this conversation, where one of the characters says, it's a great political act to love yourself.
Mm.
Like, it's a great act of a great political stand. No, actually, it seems to me that for us to treat one another in that way is a greatly necessary political act, to treat ourselves and one another as vast unfolding mysteries that we can only barely know. But if we pay enough attention and are open enough, we can enter further and further into one another's mystery.
Mm. Yeah. As you talk, I'm realizing that only by my having contact with my mystery, my love, can I then be open to have language for and be in relationship with you about you, that part of you. Or that's not really a part, that doesn't really sound right, but the beingness that is you, that is not overtly revealed. You know, like what we choose to bring forth might be different to what we're really choosing to bring forth, but it takes a different kind of seeing to see what someone's really trying to bring forth. So your actions might be a certain way that look quite different from your intentions, for example. And our intentions come from somewhere behind, and then what's brought forth is the manifestation of those intentions, which may or may not be met or received in the way that they were intended. So to be someone who can understand intention, I mean, this is like one aspect of a, but it's like an example for me of where I know that if I can attune to intention, it's very different than attuning to action only. And that if I include someone's intention or my imagination of their intention, if I can include that and let that be part of how I'm in relationship with you, that really shifts my reductionism about you. And of course, there's many other things I could intentionally include about you other than just your intention. I could include your, what's your gift? Like, I could be asking really different questions about you than just relating to the thing that you're showing me. I feel like so many times with humans, there's a kind of, I'm presenting to you the way that I'm trying to control what you see of me. And then it's my choice whether I, so you might be presenting to me what you would like me to see about you. And of course, that's important that I receive that. But it also feels very important that I, whilst accepting that, don't stop there. That I also dedicate myself to seeing the pieces of you that you aren't necessarily revealing, but that which are on display. And how can I be a person that relates to, articulates, and is with you in bringing forth maybe the aspects that you don't necessarily want me to see, but you do really in some way. And so, I don't know, somehow this George Saunders thing is leading me to such a, like a much broader way of seeing and being with and relating to and feeling into other people's worlds, which is probably also part of the art of writing a character or something, is that you have to be a person that sees beyond what's being presented or whatever image is being put forth, and delve into, in our imaginations probably mostly, what's behind that. And that's what really gives somebody a character. That's what really paints the picture of a human, is all of the bits that aren't put on display. And what makes it so interesting to know one another in way is all the things that aren't said or that aren't shrouded in mystery. And so I'm feeling, I don't know, like somehow this conversation is kind of educating me on characters as well. You know, I could talk about you in all of the pieces of writing that you've done and all of the actions that we can see in the world and maybe what it says on a website and all the things you say to me. But if I was to try and express you to someone else as a character, those things would be important, but there would have to be so much more I could say in order for someone else to know you through me.
Amazing implication in something you're saying. I of course I can't really know whether you mean it this way, but I have this sense that it might connect with what you're saying. So when I'm listening to you or being with you as I am now, there's kind of a reductionist way of going about this, which goes, it's got to do with this thing that you said about the way that we try to control our impressions of one another. So it begins with the idea, maybe if I just switch it around my way, it's easy to speak about this, that as I speak to you, I have the complete knowledge of me and what it is that I'm trying to say. I'm the one who can know all of that. And then it's my job to make sure that that ends up in your experience. The conventional way of talking about it now, which is not the way I like to talk about it really, is that it would start off in my brain and it would end up in your brain, you know, whatever it is I want to say. But because whatever I want to say, first of all, I can only partly know, it's arising from this vast context, but also because there are so many different ways of understanding me, that my attempts to try and control your impression of me make me very, very, very narrow. But also it works on the other side too, which is that if you listen to me from the frame of, I've got to get the truth, I have to get the accurate representation, it's the same mistake. It's much more like standing in front of a a work of art, a painting, for example, is a good example, or you were talking about characters, and you and I standing in front of this painting and me saying, for me, this painting is this and this and this, and you saying, gosh, well, for me, it's this, 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 and this. And what's happening is the painting is appearing in each of us. The appearance of the painting in each of us is a way that the painting is in the world. It's an expression of the possibilities of the painting. And to really appreciate the painting is an imaginative, it's not just receiving a painting, it's an imaginative act. I'm imagining and you're imagining. And if I can extend myself to imagine the kinds of things that you're starting to imagine, I broaden the way that the painting can show up in me. And I think that that's what you're talking about, which is, it's my sense of it, which is that when you are listening to me, or I'm listening to you, now I switch it around the other way. So if I'm listening to you, that listening to you is both an act of sensitivity and receptivity and not trying to impose all of my own concepts and structures on what you say. But it's also an act of imagination. If there's a Lizzie, there's Lizzie arising here, as well as a Lizzie arising where you are. And if I can stay open and imaginative and also draw on my experience of you and my love for you and my understanding of you and all of that and stay open, I can allow for the possibility that lots of different ways that you might be and what you might mean can arise in me. And that's part of you. It's not just part of me. The way you show up in me is also you. And everything that we do to try and reduce this down to there's one truth about Lizzie and there's I've got to get that truth, I think what it also does is it, maybe particularly when we don't understand one another or when we're in difficulty or disagreement, maybe we see it most fully then. I'm just so sure that I know what you're saying and why you're saying it. I've done this a million of times in my life. I know that you're out to get me. I know that.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't know most of the time. Sometimes it's possible to know those things, but a lot of the time, I don't. Can I imagine, let myself really imagine truthful ways that you are, and then bring that into our conversation with one another? And then can we let ourselves be works of art for one another, rather than reducing ourselves to some kind of very narrow conceptual truth that we get or we don't get?
Oh gosh. So I'm really this is such a lovely way to end the conversation for me, Justin, is this, can we be works of art to one another? How wonderful that that is a possibility of being human, that each of us is a work of art to one another. It's amazing. I'm so grateful for this, Justin, and all of this is just all really hard to say. I'm noticing in myself, like, oh my gosh, we're speaking of realms of experience that feel difficult to language, which is the thing itself, you know. So I'm feeling grateful to every artist out there, all of us, the artist in all of us, for being this provocative, creative shaker-upper of life. And really grateful to George Saunders for doing an extraordinary thing with humans, with what he's doing. And really grateful, Justin, to you for being the person who can sit and read Henry Bortoff 2 times and know what on earth's going on. And just grateful that we can be here together in our difference and in our sameness. Really beautiful. So thank you. And we're going to be back next Sunday at the same time. And thank you all for being here with us. Thank you for following. Thank you for being in all the different kind of topics and all of the range of the things that we bring. And we'll see you back here again next week here on Facebook and all of the other places.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.